Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. That is for sure. You know, folks, we keep hearing about right to work for less. It is a fraud. Don't believe me. Check it out for yourself. But I got to tell you, when people have the conversation with elected officials, and it's a conversation, it's not just a rhetorical back and forth or, you know, political rhetoric and all that kind of other silly stuff, you can make a lot of people really take a step back, take a deep breath, and think about it. And that's all we have to ask people to do, because when they think about it, they know that it's wrong. And to talk about another recent win against right-to-work fraud in this country, we've got Ken Perdue, the West Virginia AFL-CIO. Ken, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Charles, for the opportunity.
Always a pleasure, Ken. Always a pleasure. We appreciate it. In fact, down in West Virginia, you guys have just beat back in the legislature an attempt to bring right-to-work into the state of West Virginia. Am I correct?
Yes, we did. Bills were introduced in both houses, and was as busy as they were, first-time Republican leadership in 83 years, that those their calendar was busy, and we were able to keep it basically off of the agenda. And as with that, you can take a small moral victory over that.
So you beat it back. Our friend Bill Lonergan down in Kentucky, they're beating it back county by county. Out of 120 counties, they may have 10 or 11 or something like that, the latest count. So that's not going anywhere. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, Ken, were you up against the anti-union, anti-community, anti-working family people that are working with Alec, that are bringing these cookie-cutter legislative bills out, throwing a lot of cash around, telling legislators that if you don't play ball with us, we're going to primary you and get somebody else to run for your seat. Are these the kinds of bare-knuckle things that were going on in West Virginia?
Well, I couldn't have said any better, Charles. You said exactly the way it was. It's America's Prosperity and other big money organizations, third-party entities that throw a lot of money around to pass legislation like the right to work, and it sounds good, but the reality is it's about corporate America trying to weaken a social group and make themselves stronger. You know, and what people need to realize that it's about making themselves stronger, and that's why unions started back 100 and some years ago, just because companies were making themselves stronger. So in the end, this session, they helped us by doing what they did, because we were able to have a lot of people at a rally. But the reality is, if our people don't pay attention to what corporate America is saying out there, and big corporate America, and what they're saying, their entitlement to a good living wage, health care, carrying a good education, will be totally under control of the rich and wealthy. And I don't want to sound prejudiced, but to that point, what you just said earlier, yes, I am, when they're going after the lesser of thee.
You know, Ken, I'm thinking to myself, in coal mining towns all across, you know, Appalachia, we know what it means to talk about shopping in the company store or living in the company house or being paid on company script. And I don't think the rest of the country understands what that means. When we talk about having to shop at the company store, it's literally the company store. And they decide what products you can buy and what products you can't with your paycheck. And they don't pay you in American dollars. They pay you in company script. And the only place that you can spend that company script is at the company store. And you're living in company housing. And these are the kinds of things that the companies did to workers in the mines. And the unions fought back against that. And they got the 8-hour workday and the 40-hour work week. And they got overtime and they got health care coverage. And they got things put into place like insurance for people and retirements, defined retirements benefits. And again and again, companies are still trying to fight to work those things back. And the only people that really understand where it comes from, unfortunately, are the union folk who worked on bringing them to all working people.
You know, Charles, I can talk to my dad, who's now 87 years old, and he can tell me about the fights that they had when he was in the coal mines back in the early 60s or late 50s. And then I could talk to retirees that are currently UMW members that lived and breathed it. And it is what you said was right. It is about an individual that lived in a town, a company town, that worked in a company mine, that shopped in a company store, that used company money, and totally controlled by the company. At any day that you and I were in that house, and if we weren't going into the mine on an everyday basis, they had the right to come in and put us out in the street, and they would. And that goes back into why were unions created? Because of thugs just like that, and they're trying to make a comeback. And I think every American, not union, non-union, everybody needs to realize that things that happen in this legislative session has a huge effect on their everyday way of life, because there was things taken away. It's not about job creation. There was things taken away that many people won't realize. But the reality is that, well, it may not be tomorrow that they'll realize that they lost something, but it's not very far off because they're not done yet.
You know, Ken, I got to tell you, when I got out of the military, a lot of people looked at me and kind of screwed their eyes up and said, you know, why are you going to work for the government? There's no money in that. And this was, you know, this wasn't that long ago. I mean, we're talking, you know, 1980, late 80s, early 90s. There's no money working for the government. And I went to work for the government. And by, you know, now, 30 years later, people were saying, oh, my God, those government people, they got too many benefits. It's a job for life, so on and so forth. Benefits didn't change that much for government employees at the federal level or the state level or the county level. But what's happened is the private sector has whittled away everybody's retirement benefits, everybody's health care benefits. Used to be that you'd go to work for a company when you got out of high school or college, and you'd work for that company for your entire life, and they'd invest in you, and you'd invest in the company, and you come away with a nice pension and a gold watch. Not anymore. And that's what the companies want to do. They want to continue that downward spiral of your health care coverage, your retirement, your benefits. And quite frankly, they just want to continue to enrich those people that are at the very top of the food chain. And the thing that stands between them, those very rich, taking everything they can, are unions here in this country.
Charles, I come from an industry in the building construction trades that everything that I had to make sure that was kept in place was two things. One is the workers were trained, drug-free, and ready to go to work. The other was good companies that stayed intact, and we did everything we could to make sure that they made money. And that's the everyday belief of everybody. They want to go to work, and they want to be able to go for a company. Like you said, they can go there, and they can retire from it. Imagine that, to be able to retire from one company. Now, not everybody wants to do that. They like to venture around until they settle into where they really want to be. But when I got into sheet metal workers, I got into a career. And I enjoyed the career, and right now I'm looking at almost 42 years in as a career, and I've got no regrets with it. But the thing is that as people get later into their life, they start paying more attention. And there is a definite distinction between younger voters, activist workers, middle-aged, and older workers, and everybody needs to understand that when we try to make a life for ourselves, we try to prosper, it's got to be done with the aid of the individual that you are and the aid of a company owner that is willing to share their profits and not just take all the profits. You're willing to share their profits for the individuals to make them prosper. Because I'm a believer that when you have somebody that is making a decent money, it doesn't have to worry about health care or the opportunity for retirement every day. They're a good worker, and they're going to be a good, prosperous worker for the company. And that's where we should be at, not trying to send everything overseas that we see so much. I just saw something about all the airplanes that we're building, and so much of the technology is now owned by China. They've either taken it over there, or the technology has, they've come in here and bought it, and we've allowed it to happen. So we're fighting against, we've got technology that goes in our airplanes that's going to be built by the same country that we're not really secure with, which is a communistic-type country that doesn't necessarily believe in the freedom of all workers. So we continue to prosper as a good country, a big country, but we got problems, and they need to be addressed. And one thing is workers need to be treated better.
Absolutely. Ken, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Girls, gather around me, and I'll tell you the story of the Investor-State Dispute Resolution Clause. Wait, children, where are you going? Don't run away. Don't cry. Okay, the wonkish gibberish used by the powers that be to write those corporate boondoggles they call the trade deals is toothachingly boring and incomprehensible. Could that be on purpose? Of course! If they wrote these wage-destroying, environment-killing, sovereignty-sucking scams in plain English so we commoners could understand what they're doing to us, they couldn't get away with it. So here comes the Trans-Pacific Partnership, by far the largest trade flim-flam in history. Written in gobbledygook, it was negotiated in secret by corporate lobbyists and government lawyers. Even Congress doesn't know what's in it, but TPP is to be hustled into law through a super rush rubber stamp process called Fast Track. No need to be suspicious, though, for an upstanding new group called Progressive Coalition for American Jobs now assures us that this global trade deal will support hundreds of thousands of new jobs in the United States. Hello, do we have soccer wrappers around our heads? That's the exact same claim that Bill Clinton made for NAFTA, which siphoned hundreds of thousands of jobs and entire industries out of the U.S. By the way, who are the members of this coalition? Every progressive group I know of is adamantly against the TPP, and no progressive has stepped forward to claim ownership of this PR push for corporatizing the people's democratic rights. Is there a coalition? Who's in it? Who funds it? This is Jim Hightower saying, nobody's answering because nobody's there. The coalition is a fraud, just like TPP. For a real coalition of progressives who are standing tall against the whole fraud, go to StopFastTrack.com.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Josh Groban. 1 in 6 Americans don't know where their next meal will come from. These are our neighbors, friends, and coworkers. There's just no sugarcoating it. These people need our help. Visit feedingamerica.org/hunger to find out how you can make a difference. I'm Josh Groban, and together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is Lisa Edelstein from House. On TV, the good doctors aren't always easy to spot, but it is easy to spot the good that Barasa Ware is doing as a local health worker in Ethiopia. Every day, he helps the children of his village survive. When you help local health workers like Barasa, you're one step away from helping children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. Folks, I just want to say, go to our website, theunionedge.com. You can listen to the live podcast right there, or live stream, I'm sorry. You can listen to the podcast. You can download an app for your iPhone or your Android, or you can just look at pictures of Angela and Brittany. We're pretty easy. You could do whatever. Meantime, on the phone with me, we've got Ken Perdue, president of the West Virginia AFL-CIO. Ken, welcome back.
Thank you for the opportunity, Charles. It's a beautiful day in the city here.
Oh, well, there you go. We appreciate that. It's always exciting. It's better than the snow. But, you know, Ken, we've been talking about beating back right to work. And let's face it, you know, West Virginia's it's been a trial, and there's been some tribulations when it comes to trying to, you know, get some good jobs into the state, keep them there, and so on and so forth. But I think that your state legislature folks understand that right to work means people get paid less. Okay, it's not that companies charge less for their goods or services. The employees get paid less. Okay, it increases the profit margin for companies and businesses. So if your employees are being paid less, there's less of a tax base. Less cops, less firemen, less paramedics, more potholes, less teachers, bigger classrooms. You know, and I'm not talking about the size of the classroom. I'm talking the classroom goes from 25 kids to 40 kids. And these things are detrimental to a community as a whole. And to go after unions just so you can make some extra bucks at the expense of everybody in the community, not just the union members, I got to tell you, is despicable. It really is.
Yeah, we live in a country that there's freedoms that most countries never have. And we have a freedom in this country that's about the opportunity to say, and First Amendment rights to say, what you want, that's within certain parameters of what you should be correct on. But we say what the truth is about what right to work, and corporate America is saying what the lies are about right to work. And they, in the lies that they're saying about right to work, they're telling the whole public, and they won't get off the message that job creation is better in the state. You know, in a time when they wanted to pass a right to work law, or were interested in looking at it, we were just introduced to a decision by Procter Gamble to build a new plant in eastern West Virginia, eastern Panhandle.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably close to a $1 billion project. We've got a facility sitting up along the Ohio River where they're going to build a cracker, which is a $5 billion project. The struggles that West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Kentucky all go through is competition between each other. It's not right to work. That's where the job fights come into, and it's not because the law is going to make it easier because of right to work. It's about we having well-trained workers, and we think that the unions and many others do provide a well-trained workforce. The truth is that right to work, it does. You just said it. It lowers wages. It lowers living conditions. It weakens your schools. Every area where they try to take money out of somebody's pocket makes that much less money for every community to exist and live on. So it's our objective is going to be to get the truth out, and we hope people listen to what the truth is and what we say. So we've got to fight over the next 10 months to educate the public on what right to work truly is, and we just hope that they listen.
Ken, I know that you've been doing the outreach already. I know that the member locals of the state affiliation with the AFL-CIO are doing the reach out already. What kinds of things are you hearing back from the public? Do they understand what's on the line and how it impacts their families?
Well, when West Virginia legislature was going through, and there was a rally in Charleston early, about halfway through the session, that one of the senators called, and in that rally, there was quite a few people there on a miserable day. But as we went several weeks and we were going to make up our mind if and when we was going to have our own rally, and when we called one the next to last Saturday of the session last week, it gave us a true indication that when somewhere around 7,000 people showed up and on the front steps of this Capitol, to tell the government to back off, give us an opportunity, not take life away from us. We thought that was a clear indication that people are paying attention. See, they just didn't come after us on right to work. Tort reform, which they claim is West Virginia's a hellhole, let me tell you, they didn't come after tort reform to try to help businesses as much as they did. They went after workers on OP claims, deliberate intent, just to make it tougher for a person that's got black lung to try to resolve their case and try to just live with dignity for the short life that they have. They took an opportunity to try to privatize the school systems. They weakened the mine safety laws within the state. They tried to eliminate prevailing wage, but through discussions and common sense and pressure from contractors who worked and could tell you the truth about prevailing wage, they were able to salvage a piece of the law that allows them to continue on with it. So they hit about everybody out there on the bills that they did, and it's all about weakening, demeaning, destroying the lives of so many people. And that's the people are understanding it. At this time, not enough of them, Charles. But that's what we're going to try to do over the next 10 months.
Well, Ken, if there's anything that we can do, you let us know. And I'm sure that we can work together and you make sure that we're getting the word out to the public. Because that's
important. I will do that.
And we'll talk about that here later on. Ken, we got about a minute and a half left. Anything else that the public should know about what's going on?
Well, I think people just have to have an open mind instead of a closed mind about what you and I just talked about. And then that is thinking about what their future is and what the truth is, because there's so much negative going on out there in the public. It disenfranchises the voting public and the people out there in every little community. They need to know what the truth is, what's being said, the effect it has on their lives, and the effect it's going to have on their kids and their grandkids. And, you know, we're not destined to live forever on this beautiful country that we live on, this world. But we are here long enough to make life better for our kids and grandkids. And that's where we would like to leave it. Let's take an opportunity to look at it and make life better for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Ken. And we appreciate your thoughts on that. You know, after all, you know, very rarely hear a union person complain about how much somebody's making. But, you know, union folk were pretty okay. And I think if you get to know them, you'll enjoy what you get to talk about. And that's a very important thing. Ken, very quickly, how do we find out more about the West Virginia AFL-CIO?
Well, our website is www.wvaflco.org. You'll be seeing more of us and hearing more about us in the near future, either on Facebook or Twitter. And every little community, I promise you, we will be talking the issue throughout the next the rest of 2015.
There you go. It's pretty easy, folks. And that was Ken Perdue, president of the West Virginia AFL-CIO. I got to tell you, folks, the same thing that Ken was facing and the folks in West Virginia were facing is the same thing that the folks in Kentucky are facing, word for word. It's all coming from these organizations that are out there to empower themselves and weaken the American public, and that's what they're trying to do. Unions are only one step on their journey, and if they get unions, they're going to come after you. But that's just me talking. In any case, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.